your Bibles and open up to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start there in a moment. This morning, as we went through the verses in part 1, we sought to answer four questions. Is there anything good that can come from alcohol? I realize for external medicinal purposes and very little used even for an internal medicine, there's some good that can be there. Is being intoxicated a sin? Yes. What's to be done with a so-called brother who has a habit of being drunk? The picture is, you avoid association with them, and you don't partake of the supper with them, in the sense of it is time for a conversation to confront sin. It is time to look for what's best for their soul. Because it's easy to be deceived and to think, I get drunk, it's okay, God will forgive me. And to continue in the same things. Then to look at the next question we answered. What about going to drinking parties even if I don't partake? And we looked at 1 Peter chapter 4. And specifically, Peter says, no more of these things. There was a time past before we came to Jesus. He says, those times are over. Now it's time to offer ourselves to God and His will. This morning we looked at drunkenness and intoxication. We see that that's evil and it's sin. And it'll get us cut off from God. We also looked at what even going to places where there's a lot of drinking going on, a drinking party, to make sure and even avoid those places. Tonight, what I want to do is deal with, what about drinking alcohol? I'm not drinking to excess. I'm not drinking to be drunk or intoxicated. What's the will of God there? What do I do with that? What does He desire? I want to start off remembering and understand this. If you weren't here this morning, the lesson will be available online really soon. Remember out of Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and he who is intoxicated by it is not wise. I want you to see here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 3. We think of these as the qualities of overseers. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. I know this is not the complete characteristics given, but I want you to notice the first one in verse 3. Not addicted to wine. Other translations say not given to wine. If you look at the Greek language, it's literally the word not a drunkard. Because God knows someone who will be intoxicated is not wise. Those who are here to shepherd and oversee us need to be men of wisdom. Men of God's Spirit. And so understand this. If we're going to deceive ourselves into thinking, I can be drunk and still be wise. Number one, you got a problem with Proverbs 20 verse 1. Number two, notice God says, not for my spiritual leaders. It shouldn't be there. And realize if it is, there's a bigger problem at hand because we walked away from God's Word. I want you to look down a little bit further. Look at verse 8, same chapter. Now we're talking about deacons. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain. I've heard people take these two and try to compare them. They say, well, it sounds like the overseer is not given to wine, much wine, but the deacon, well, he can have a little. I want you to understand, these are two different ways of saying the same thing. When he talks about to the overseer, he's not a drunkard. When he starts talking about here to the deacon in verse 8, he says, or addicted to much wine. He says, that's not going to be part of who God wants to lead His people. So as you look even in carrying out the role of service like deacons do, not even to be a part of them. So we start looking and asking, so what is God's will with alcohol? We know we're, alright, we know where drunkards are. There's a need for repentance. There's a need for change. And like we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, hey, forgiveness is available in Jesus. Washed, sanctified, justified. So what about here? Look over at Romans chapter 14 that was read a few minutes ago. I want you to understand the context of Romans 14. It's about dealing with things that are matters of opinion. So what do you do? We're going to find you walk in love. But I want you to notice two things in particular before we get started. So you see, we're addressing these things exactly what's there in the context. First of all, look down at verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Now, when he says eat meat, he's talking about meat that had been offered in to an idol in a temple. He says it had been used, they were partaking of it, and it was causing some to go back to the old ways. Then he says, or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. He says it is good not to do these things. Now, look back to verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. He says, this can be a big stumbling block. This can be humongous to others who are in Christ. Now comes a choice. Am I going to do it my way or am I going to go after love? Then, look at verse 14. Paul writes, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. We've already looked at it to see. There could be a good that would come from it for a medicinal purpose. Is it wrong to take it for the medicine? No. To notice it here, he says that nothing is unclean in itself. Is the alcohol itself a problem? No, if it's used in a good way. Then he comes to say this, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If I say to myself, I don't want anything to do with alcohol, well, then flat out, straightforward, he says, then by all means, don't touch it. If it's thought to be unclean, then certainly do not. Verse 15. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. So often we forget in our actions about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We forget in terms of having some people like they did at Corinth who had come out of a lifestyle of drunkenness. And now to gather together and for them to see you, maybe you had been in Christ for longer than they had. They come out of that background and they see you drink. Even though you say, I'm not drunk. And they go, well, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay if I just keep it under control this time. For if because of food, and the context warrants because of drink as well. We've already seen that further down the chapter. Your brother is hurt. You're no longer walking according to love. What is Jesus looking for in His people? Love is about self-sacrifice. Is there a freedom? Yes. But do we walk according to love and not hurt our own brother and sister in Christ? If you notice the statement here, if we don't care about our brothers and sisters, it's not according to love. If you think in terms of the attributes of love in 1 Corinthians 13, one is it does not seek its own. For me to say I have a freedom and nobody's going to tell me I can't. I'm not over in over excess. Who's to say I can't do it? It's not walking according to love. Notice at the end of verse 15. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Here's Jesus willing to sacrifice his life. And I won't sacrifice my freedom. Verse 16. Therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. This is not the picture of, well, see, I told you it's good. You can't talk bad about me. If it's according to love, that's what he's talking about. Then, verse 17. Excuse me, verse 16. Therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not about food and drink. That is not the goal of God's kingdom. So don't bring it down to that level. He says it here. The goal of the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness. To go after what is loving. Peace. What makes for peace among brethren? To love each other. And then to take it a step further, and the joy that's found in the Holy Spirit. To walk according to what is holy and what is right. Notice how this continues. Verse 18. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Acceptable to God. To let love govern what I do and what I drink. To let love be what leads and guides. Righteousness, peace, joy, and love. There's a congregation of the Lord's Church in Tennessee. Back a long time ago, they would gather together for the supper. And they actually had wine. Alcoholic wine that they would serve in communion. It's not accurate to what Jesus did. Even some of our own hymns use this. They talk about wine. It was not wine that Jesus partook of. You may ask, well, how do you know that? Because it's during the feast of Passover. It's during the days of unleavened bread. And if you go back to Exodus and Deuteronomy, during those times, those 7 days, you did not have any leaven in your home. You didn't even, Deuteronomy says, even have it in your territory. You know what wine has part of it? Yeast. Yeast is a leaven. They weren't partaking of anything alcoholic whenever they partook of the supper in the upper room. Here they were at this congregation in Tennessee, and they served wine on the supper. It wasn't right. It wasn't honorable. But they decided to walk according to love and change. There was a member of the Lord's church who started to worship there, came out of an alcoholic background. And so they had a conversation. What did they choose? They chose love. We'll use grape juice. As Matthew says it, the fruit of the vine. And what did they find before God? They were acceptable. And they were even pleasing to men. When you choose to walk by love and righteousness and peace and joy, this is what you find before God, His acceptance. He doesn't push away. For someone to say, you know what, I'm not getting drunk. I can partake of this alcohol and be fine with the Lord. What about your brothers and sisters in Christ? To walk according to love. Notice how this continues even a step further. Look at verse 19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. He says, with love ruling and righteousness ruling, we want to pursue peace. We want to go after not what's self-centered and self-consuming, but to go after what's loving. And you find joy in the midst of it all because you know God accepts us. Notice how it continues, verse 20. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. What if I want to take alcohol and I end up offending some other brother or sister? Notice where the line is put. He says, is it a freedom? Yes. Can't get intoxicated. Can't get drunk. And you can't offend your brother. He says, you come to that where we're offensive to one another? He says, that's evil. He doesn't say that's tolerable. He says, that is evil. Notice how he continues. I want you to think of this for a second. This happened not too far from here. There's a grandfather and his grandchild going into a local store. And there was a saint that was in the checkout line in front of them, carrying two cases of alcohol. Grandchild said to the grandfather, I thought they went to church with us. Grandfather said, not everyone's devoted. You understand, we may think no one sees. We may think no one is going to be affected. But it does. We affect each other. Notice verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. He says, evil is when you give offense. Good and what's loving is, I'm not going to put a stumbling block in front of anybody. I'm not going to do that because I'm going to walk by love. And I'm going to find peace with God because He's going to accept me. And I'm going to find joy because I know He stands with me. And I'll stand in righteousness by the love that's offered. Someone may say, well, why do I care about that? Because you care about the love of God. We have to stop caring about and loving God to run over the top of each other. Because love sacrifices for another. Let's take this a step further. What if this is even in somebody's own home? Between them and their mate? What would love do? I'm not going to cause them to stumble. I'm going to put it away. And in doing so, do you know what they'll find? God will accept you. God will forgive. Now it finally comes to our mind. He says it in verse 21, it's good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. Verse 22, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. This is a faith response to God. To sacrifice a freedom. This is a faith response to Him where it says, having as your own conviction before God. And I want you to notice the rest of the verse. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. There's a family that I've known, and I hope you don't. No one like it. In their home, they decided they would be okay with drinking. They wouldn't drink to excess. They would have it in their own home. As their children were growing up, they let them partake as well. And then the day came. As parents, we control the limits. And then their children got old enough to drive. How do you hold the hand of a mother who, because of what she approved, cost her the life of her son? Love would say no. How many days do you think she regrets what she did? She's not happy about it. She's not happy about it at all. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Now look at verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. If you ever find yourself in a situation looking for the will of God and alcohol is in front of you, if you doubt whether it's right or not, walk away. He who doubts is condemned if he eats. He who doubts is condemned if he drinks as well. That's the context we're dealing with here. Because his eating is not from faith. See, God's looking at our faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. God desires for us to be a people with conviction. A conviction to love and to go after what's righteous. And we'll find joy and we'll find peace. So as parents, we have to be really careful with what we approve of. Because we may not be happy with it in the end. I want you to look at one more story. I want you to look back at the Gospel of Mark. Look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Look at verse 22. Here's the story of Jesus. Then they brought him, Jesus, to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Look at verse 23. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. This was given to dull the senses of the one who was about to be crucified. This was the soldier's method of mercy. That they could torment more. They offered it to Jesus to say, we want to help you endure. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh. In a time of great difficulty, great pain, great suffering, the way a lot of people want a way out of, and what does Jesus do? I'm not going to take that. And he refuses it. So many times what drives people to alcohol is they want to forget. They want a release where they don't have to be involved in reality anymore. And when they wake up, the problem's still there. Here's Jesus. He refuses it. I want you to look down further in the chapter, though. Look down at verse 36. Well, I also want you to notice verse 24. And they crucified him. They offered that to him while he was on the ground. And when he wouldn't partake, now the crucifixion begins. Now look down at verse 36. After Jesus has been hanging there for almost 6 hours now, paying our debt, he's cried out and said, in other gospel accounts, that he's thirsty. So someone decides they will run and get him something to drink. Verse 36, someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Now he can't refuse it. It's no longer his choice. His hands are nailed. His feet are nailed. And they decide that they'll soak this sponge with sour wine. And they lift it up on a branch of hyssop, in fact. And they press it against his lips and make him drink. It's not his choice. Some people take these verses and say, see, Jesus drank. He doesn't drink in the upper room. And he's not drinking here because of choice. And notice what happens next. Verse 37. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. He's forced to take the sour wine. And then he breathes his last. And he gave himself up for us. He chose love. He chose to not be a stumbling block. He chose the way to provide for a kingdom where righteousness and joy and peace reign. And what He approved of, He was happy with. Because it meant we could come to Him. And that veil was torn from top to bottom where we could have entrance into God's presence by the blood of Jesus. No matter where our past comes from, maybe we come from alcoholics. Maybe we come from drunkenness. They even call Jesus a drunken and a drunkard and a glutton. He didn't care what they called him. He just wanted them to call him Savior. Where do we stand with Him? When we look at the decisions we make, are they out of love? Are they out of righteousness? Or do we just seek our own? And we'll not let the Lord tell us what to do. Which means He's really not our Lord at all. May we think of these things often and understand what the will of God is when we deal in terms with alcohol. To be a loving people. If we can be of any aid to you, if we can pray for you, realize there is hope. There is hope for joy without alcohol. There is a peace that you can find apart from it. And there is approval of God that waits because our Savior lives.